Session number 9317, Reel 1.
Mr. Tom Williamson, Reel 1. Could you tell me something about your background before the war, Mr. Williamson?
Well, I was born in 1894, June 7th. And my parents raised a family of 13. And my dad was engaged at the Midland and Great Northern Railway. And he was an inspector there.
Where were you living?
I was living in a row of cottages at that time. In a place called Briston, near Melton Constable, Norfolk. And afterwards, Melton Constable became the centre of my military activities, because I was apprenticed to the works for 5 years.
Before you got, what school did you go? Did you go to the local school?
I just went to an ordinary elementary village school. And
when did you leave that?
When I was the age of 14, I started my work as a brickless labourer. But my dad, being on the Melton Constable works, was entitled to me to be apprenticed to the Middle and Great Northern Railway occupation. I was engaged as apprentice as a coach builder. And I had to serve this apprentice for 5 years. And the war broke out, of course, and that stopped that.
When did you remember the date you started working as an apprentice?
1910.
So you'd done 4 years of your course of the apprenticeship.
Yes, I'd also really done 4 years of my territorial training.
But could you tell me how you came to join the?
Well, it was through the efforts at that time of King George V. He came to power. He was crowned in 1910, and he was a great military-minded man, and I think he gave the impression that all lads should join the territorials or some voluntary. He's the forerunner of making our defence secure for the First World War, I imagine.
So it was the king himself's influence?
It was, King George V.
You met him, did you?
Met him later on. He inspected our battalion later on.
How did you go about joining up? And what was the unit you joined?
Being employed at this works is, funnily enough, the sergeant majors there were working, and that is voluntary. As a voluntary in the 1st, 5th Territorial Army, wasn't it? And through me being, he's my charge hand, and he more or less instituted me into the territorials. And from there we carried on with our drill program.
So, when you joined up, did you have to sign anything or do anything, or were you just accepted? Was there a medical check? Was there any procedure for joining up at that time?
No, it was just a formal. You had to report and say you would join the territorials, and you were permitted to do the 3 years of training, and you were permitted to put in a certain number of drills before you became a regular soldier, military-wise, anyway.
What was the sort of drill and training you did?
First of all, we had our drill hall at Melton Constable. That was a drill hall. Everyone in the 5th Norfolk had their own drill hall. We used to attend there every Wednesday night under the instruction of a regular sergeant major, plus our sergeant major voluntary, and we'd do drill, get us drill wise first. They would encourage us, and we would go through the practice of shooting inside range, and later on, of course, we became efficient to do maneuvers outside through the joining the F Company, which was the company of the territories I belonged to. And the commander of that company was Commander Bridgewater. He was responsible for the Welland Constable section, the Holt section, the Sheringham section, and the Cromer section. That composed the company. And there's eight companies I've mentioned, from Lynn, Dillon, Fateham, Wyndham, eight companies in all. And we all, of course, used to do our individual training, manoeuvres, strict training, strict drilling, strict shooting. And we were passed efficiently. I gained an efficiency medal. I got it there. And
What was that in, shooting?
Well, that efficiency medal was given to me after the war.
After the war, yeah. What else can you tell me about the training you did? You did the indoor drill. What else? What other training?
Well, of course, we used to go out in section form, do manoeuvres, night manoeuvres. In the course of our nightly application drill, we used to go in the open air and we would do strict field training as a section. And then eventually the whole company would connect all the sections to the platoons I mentioned, and we would all then do an operation of field training intensively. Say 3 days, we would have a camp, and under the supervision of all the officers, we would sleep, and they would do extensive field training, which was particularly suited for Gallipoli, really.
Could you describe this field training then, and why it was so suitable? What did you do on field training?
Well, on field training, first of all, you have to assemble at the spot and make an imaginary enemy post at a distance. You were then divided up into sections, and each section had its commander. You had to extend across your front, and you would then advance in sectional rushes until you came involved with the imaginary enemy. You go through all the drill with the blank firing, and you'd really be in your joy that you're at battle. And then there would be the night operations, which would be more difficult for scouting, and we realised that we had to more or less keep together. We got the instinction of this manoeuvres implanted in us that it became second nature.
And this is actually before the war broke out?
Oh,
you'd already
definitely
been fully trained.
4 years of that training. Very strictly these operations were carried out military-wise. We really thought we were advancing, but the real thing came, of course, later.
Your battalion, you mentioned, that was made up of contingents from all the little villages in the area. Was there a very great pride in being the Norfolk Battalion and the Norfolk Territorials? Did you feel very proud of your unit?
I was always joyously proud. That's one of my ambitions. That's part of my life. We enjoyed the company of the different sections in the different platoons in the battalion throughout the whole area. We intermixed, we knew the officers personally, and it was a harmonious affair, and it was an enjoyable time. I look on that as pleasant manoeuvring.
Now, when you joined the Territorials, it was meant to be for home service only.
I don't know how that was. Do you think it was?
Well, no, what did you think
I
it was?
No, it was, eventually, should the case of the right for access service, we were to be brought ourselves for fishing by the side of the regular soldier.
So you expected to go overseas if there was a war?
Yes, but you had the option when the war broke out to volunteer again. You weren't forced. Not only didn't volunteer, but I volunteered. And
I'll come to that. I'll just clearing that point up. What were you expecting a war in the years leading up to 1914?
No, I don't think really we were. We would serve our 4 years, and that would be the end of our commitments military-wise. But we realised that as war came, we would be called upon.
So you didn't actually know that there was the chance of a war with Germany during the years?
No, I don't think anyone did, really, not, did they?
What did you do when you first... Where were you when you first heard that war had broken out on August the 4th, 1914?
I was in Yarmouth with my parents. We went annually, as a family, to the seaside. And on return home that 4th of August, I got the call to report to the territorial unit where I had been performing my drills. And from there onwards, it was rather quick. We had to be equipped with rifle and it.
How did you and your parents react to the war coming? What did you feel when you heard that war had broken out?
Actually, it was just a procedure with them. At the moment of my reporting, and of course the frustration became more unbearable for my father as the years passed by, but at that moment they just helped me to pack and give me the blanket, and I was all ready to report at the station to be transferred to Durham.
You didn't have any inkling of what you were going to face, and your parents didn't either, did they? Or were they aware it was going to be an extremely dangerous affair? Or
I think we was all right around to the fact that we were really going on active service. We really were going to carry out the task that we'd been training for, and it didn't mean any... That meant a joyous moment for all the lads. They were particularly anxious and willing to go all out to perform their aim.
So you say you went off by train, you were put on...
We trained at Melton Constable. That was a junction which would run trains all over the East Anglia. And that's why they were so efficient, the battalion. Everybody had access to the train, and we trained there, and we arrived at Durham that night with our full march and all the rifles at the lit and ammunition, and that's all we knew. We had to dust down that night on the hard concrete floor of the mill. That was unusual, but that didn't mean a thing. I don't think to us young people, does it? Not when you are endeavoured to do your duty. It so was a duty we had taken on. We wanted to execute that duty.
So where did you go from Durham?
From Durham, we stayed there approximately a week for the commanders to organise us. And we then... entrained.
How did they go about organising you? What do you mean they organised?
Well, a huge battalion, they had to make their quick plans like I did in answering the call. And they got the battalion and all the officers all got together and they organised the next moves and so on. The next move was to Billericay.
You were still in F Company then, were you?
That was F Company, was my company. We were still F Company.
So how did you get to Billericay?
We entrained again for Billericay. And we stayed at Billericay for a few days. rest or given time to breathe. We weren't in urgent need to be at the front. They realised that we would have to take our time. We weren't like the regulars called into it. And we got to Billericay and we stayed there a week until we had the orders to march to Colchester. And that was a grueling, hot August month. 20 miles of marching. We really hadn't trained sufficiently enough to cope with our heavy packs for fully laden to march 20 miles. And some of the lads didn't make it. But I finally went. I was all right. I always seem to face things. And then we arrived at this Colchester asylum as our home. And that's where they issued the orders in a church. We were to sleep there, two in a pool, and all the latrines, etc., and all the organisation started from the commanders to make sure everything was again running smoothly. That's quite an ordeal, as I just mentioned, when they got up and issued new orders, etc., etc., from the pulpit. We stayed there till that was a chilly position to be in, sleeping two on the pool. I did mention we lost one or two with pleurisy. And they moved us to a place called Boxton, nearby. And we slept in, housed in a small bungalow. I think there's about eight of us in this small bungalow.
These were billets, were they?
They were our proposed home for a long while we did further training in the process. Round Colchester, we trained and trained again. And in the meantime, we had an outside cookhouse which supplied our rations, and we slept in this bungalow on the boards.
I'd like to ask you a bit about your conditions of service and how it... Was the accommodation comfortable enough for you in this bungalow affair?
Well, we thought we didn't deter us in any way.
Did you have bedding?
We had three floorboards on a little raft, and on that you laid your bed, straw bed, and you had your waterproof sheet, and Mum's blanket came in very handy, and we slept through quite readily for the next morning's training. Our rations were very scant.
What do they usually consist of?
What, the rations? We had those eight of us used to share a loaf of bread and fish or bully beef or what was going. The cookhouse were very generous on the outside, doing their best to supply hot soups. We was there quite a long while. We got established to the fact that we was living a normal life.
How did you react to the lack of privacy? I mean, before you'd always been able to go home, except in the brief camps.
Yes.
Well, the lack of privacy and the discipline of army life. How did you react to them? Because this was your first real experience of it.
Well, like at all times, you do make that a private matter. You seem to conceal your abilities or what you're doing from everybody else, don't you? Even under dire circumstances. I mean, we just had a plank for latrines, wooden plank used over a ditch. And in the bungalow there was a lavatory, but otherwise we had to cope with the facilities that were provided.
How about the discipline? How did you get on with army discipline yourself?
Well, that's one of the main things been my life all the way through. That's been a saviour to my long life, discipline. That's, I've taken everything in the stride of doing things, you know, and meeting all my problems. I imagine that was taught to me through the army. You had to be strict disciplined you was paralysed if you didn't.
You never had any problems with it then?
Well, I not directly, only when I moved my next move to Bury.
What, you continued your training, you said?
I was training every day, all round Colchester, until near after Christmas, and this was from August.
Was this training any different from the training you'd done as a territorial?
Yes, we had baronet practices.
You remember those?
There's ropes, sacks on strings, and you had to charge as you would do a soldier in battle, and there'd be the more shooting, you'd be practicing more on the Colchester range, and of course you'd all have the whole battalion there, you'd be into training with those, which would make a good cooperation in respect of when we went to war.
Were you a good shot? Did you pick up shooting?
Yes, I did. I started very badly, but I came out top for the indoor rifle shooting, my first year recruit, and I won the top prize for marksman at out-of-door range up to 600. So eventually I earned the cross swords, and that was one of the things I've won many things since through my ability to shoot.
Well, you say you started very badly. Was it the effectiveness of the army training methods that improved your shooting, or did you just get the hang of it yourself?
Yes, the army training give you specific instruction how to release the trigger, how to pull and not to disturb your rifle balance. We were persistently taught all the musketry concerning the rifle.
Now, another part of training would probably have been route marching, would it? Because I noted you said that you had trouble in the 20-mile march. Not you, but some of the troops did. Did you have route marching?
Oh, yes, we afterwards continually marched many miles to satisfy and get us really hardened off or stiffer eventualities. I mean, that was one of the training periods that I maintained brought us sufficient body-wise, physically and mentally.
How far would you march?
Probably you'd do 10 miles a day, different days, and you'd go quite out of Colchester. You'd go march towards the Rains, which is a long way from Boxted, where I was, or the asylum. We had continual marches, operations, everything concerned with war.
Were you still at Boxted when Christmas came along?
Yes.
1914.
I mentioned it. The corporal.
Could you tell the story of what happened at Christmas? There's an incident.
We were a joyous crowd in this bungalow, like every other bungalow, and we trimmed up for Christmas, and we got extra through our silver day pocket money to suffice our appetites, and unfortunately, a corporal came back from leave. And he wanted to set fire to all the trimmings. And I, Ben, a lance corporal, told him to pipe down. He aimed a revolver at me because he had his own revolver. And eventually he's a pal of mine, although he's under the influence of drink just at that period, which would occur among men.
Were there many incidents like this where people under the influence of drink went a bit wild, or was that
the
exception?
No, I think that was an exception. I never can remember any hysterical times through drink.
How had you been promoted to Lance Corporal? When had that happened?
Well, that happened at the call-up. I'd been efficient enough, and I was recognised suitable for my first stripe.
So that was in straight away in August?
Yes.
What were your responsibilities as a Lance Corporal during the training period?
Well, each of the sections have a platoon sergeant, a corporal, and a Lance Corporal to supervise the section, which is divided into four. And I just had this section. I was responsible, like there's four Lance Corporals to four sections in that platoon.
How did you get on with the men in your platoon, and in your section in particular? Did you have any problems with them?
No, I was confident enough in my training to take over leadership. And that means a lot, doesn't it? If you're confident.
So you didn't have any trouble in getting them to do
No, we all seemed to work. They used to take everything for granted we did.
Did you still have close links with the men, or were you now seen as
NCO? Oh, yeah, they were boys from my village. We were American sexton. We were all employed together in the normal life, and I knew each individual.
So there was no... although you were now a Lance Corporal, you were still as close to the men as you had been?
Yeah, they recognised that I was a Lance Corporal, and that was it.
How did you get on with the other NCOs and higher up NCOs?
Yes, I knew them confidentially, and we were all workmates when we were off duty, and we were all together as military soldiers when we were on duty. That was the law and discipline of the army that we were abiding by.
So you had no troubles with the higher NCOs picking on you or anything like that?
No.
What about your officers? What did you think of your officers? And how much contact did you have with them at this early stage while you were training at Boxton?
Well, the officers was the commander, Bridgewater, and he had his major and lieutenants. And for a section, for each platoon or section, we would have a first lieutenant, and they would be generally men of higher education selected as officers, you see, training. They would be capable of leading men, and we found them very brave, efficient, and very courageous, and they weren't afraid to show their mit. When I'm talking like this, I mean they would lead you. We faced it dangerous even in training, I mean. But you'd see the lieutenants and all the officers taking that desperate lead.
So you had great faith in their leadership.
I did.
Were they very competent as well? Did you feel they were competent in their job as
they
well?
They were, yes. They seemed to be lovely, interested in their positions and their source of duty.
Were they popular with the men?
We was popular that we knew our officers. We didn't. We had to treat our officers, yes, Williamson, or you couldn't, yes, sir, of course. That's discipline, isn't it? From a private towards his senior officers, even towards his senior NCOs. He has to recognise that they are his leaders, and he has to